Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
And it doesn't matter what it is that you're shopping for. We want to know, are you the kind of consumer who still prefers to go into a shopping mall, shopping center, into the store, touch, feel, embrace, experience the item that you want to buy? Or are you opting to move away from the bricks and move to clicks? That's the word and the phrase that was used to describe e-commerce in South Africa by Sean Summers, the CEO of Pick and Pay, when we spoke to him earlier this week. And this really helps us just get a better understanding of the latest developments that we witness in terms of the new data from Trade Intelligence, which shows key shifts within South Africa's FMCG, fast-moving consumer goods retail landscape. And one thing's for certain, not only are we looking for value and discounts, but e-commerce formats are outperforming other platforms or channels. To tell us more, we join now on the line by Andrea Slabber, Insights Lead at Trade Intelligence. Andrea, welcome to the show.
Hi, good evening. Thank you so much.
I'm excited to speak to you because I think this really gives us a snapshot into our shopping and spending behavior in South Africa. Help us uncover more about what the report actually looks to reveal in terms of the insights before we deep dive into the numbers.
Well, it all starts with the role of the FMCG or grocery retail sector. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you think it's really such an important part of the food chain, and I think what stands out for us is the retailers are really trying to help their best to help South African households feed their families. So, I mean, I love shopping and I love grocery shopping. So mm-hmm. It's certainly something that makes me very enthusiastic.
I completely agree with you. Andrea, before the pandemic, I would never have thought I could buy tomatoes, onions, and other groceries on an app. I was like, no ways, not me. Guess what happened? After experiencing lockdown, I'm the first person to open up the Checkers 6060 app or the Woolies Dash app. So I completely know what you mean in terms of the efficiency and convenience of e-commerce. But let's talk about how efficient it has been. Just how much growth have we witnessed within that space, especially in the local environment?
Well, in the local environment, and if we look specifically at the FMCG market, so the fast-moving consumer goods or groceries, there's been a growth of 42% over the past year in e-commerce sales of groceries. And those numbers that we hear, the growth numbers from the different retailers and in general, always sound really spectacular because it is really spectacular growth. But it's incredible to understand that of all the groceries sold in South Africa, only 2.4% of the value is through e-commerce. Can you believe that?
Oh, wow. So it's growing, it's fast, but clearly it's a very small market. So hence it's not dominating overall grocery spend trends. Am I understanding you correctly?
Definitely. I mean, you normally see very high growth numbers coming from a small base, and this is a good example. But still, it's really important for South Africans for convenience. It's helped so many households to get groceries to people that need it when they need it. So I do foresee that further growth will definitely expand that market. I mean, like you said, the pandemic triggered South Africans to start exploring e-commerce or online shopping for groceries. The retailers are coming to the party. I mean, the retailers are rolling out more and more convenient platforms. So certainly a lot better adoption than before.
I also guess to put things into perspective, Andrea, as you highlighting, this also means that there's a small amount of us in the population purchasing online or purchasing groceries online, but we are doing it more often. As I mentioned, I probably haven't been in a grocery store in a while, maybe just this past weekend. So not so much a while, but as I say, it's a small market, but with a heightened level of activity, which is where the growth is coming from. Does this also speak to the ecosystem of e-commerce? Because you need a distribution center, you need the grocery store, you need the logistics and the last mile delivery, right? Does that speak to where the growth is coming from a geographic point of view?
Definitely. And we see the retailers actually gearing up for this growth and responding to growth in certain areas with the opening of dark stores. I mean, I was really pleasantly surprised to hear last year of Clicks opening their first dark store in Cape Town. And a dark store is like almost like a store, but not visited by the shoppers, where they pick the grocery, or the Clicks, not groceries, but they pick the orders from. Checkers 6060 has a number of dark stores in areas where there's very high frequency of such purchases, because they're also mindful of in-store shopping and not wanting to congest the aisles with grocery pickers.
And I think that's so creative, as you say, you know, the dark shops not congesting the stores with increased traffic. So it does speak to how it is that they are making this more accessible. But access is not just making sure the groceries get to your door in a sealed package. It's making sure that you actually buy the groceries at a price point that works for you. And there's a lot that's highlighted the sensitivity of consumers in our pockets in the last few years. Maybe talk us through inflationary pressures and how this has also impacted pricing, which I understand is a key focus for us as customers.
Absolutely. I mean, all of us can feel it and we experience it. The prices or the price of a grocery basket has increased tremendously over the past 3 years. And we're still sitting with sort of the hangover of very high inflation rates that we saw in 2023 and 24, up to 10.8%, I think, in 2023. So although inflation has eased now, that doesn't mean that grocery prices have come down, and certainly that's what we experience. They still increase. Some grocery categories are exposed to environmental crises in other parts of the world. We think of how olive oil prices have been affected, coffee, chocolates, etc. But if we look at the basic staple foods and the groceries, certainly just trying to feed your family is still a struggle. So pricing is really a sensitive point for South African shoppers. And the stores are really trying their best to promote these grocery essentials, those staple foods, at reasonable prices through these bulk deals at the end of the month. Mm. And we specifically see that the discounter stores are really giving great value to shoppers that are able to buy in bulk.
Definitely, including the rewards and loyalty programs they have in place, right? Is that still something that they're capitalizing on?
Absolutely. I mean, the retailers benefit from the loyalty programs because they get lots of valuable information from the shoppers. Mm. But as a grocery shopper, I love those deals that you get through the loyalty programs. Right. And it certainly saves you quite a lot. I mean, I always admire the amount of money that I've saved at the end of my till slip when I do my grocery shopping.
100%. And I think that's what we all need to be conscious of, is that you might be getting what's referred to as a cashback at the end of the month, or a discount at the till, the buy two and get one free, or a promotional item or special pricing on it. But ultimately, yes, we get those financial rewards, but we're also giving data to these companies, who then know how much on average we spend on a month, which products we typically like to buy, you know, and even our lifestyle changes, you know, if one has a baby, you know, that you'll probably be interested more in baby products. Perhaps if you have a pet, that kind of data and information will then be what they push to you in terms of the marketing strategy. So it's not a bad thing, but really just all part of the ecosystem that we all need to understand, that it is an exchange for value and data that retailers have really come to use effectively. But speaking of this, the retailers are also able to use this specifically as supermarkets, because they are the juggernauts of the industry. Pick and Pay, ShopRite, Checkers, Woolworths, Spar also coming on board, looking to be more aggressive with their e-commerce strategy. These are all retailers we've known for decades on end in South Africa. And the truth is, as they continue to dominate, they really have a hold over the FMCG space and dominance, right, of groceries versus the mom and pop shop down the road.
They do. I mean, over the past year, we've seen stronger growth coming from the modern trade space, with those corporate retailers that you've just mentioned. So growing at a faster pace than the independent trade. But the independent trade certainly holds strong. I mean, think of Spaza shops and Super Reds, etc., and the important role they also play as part of the food chain in South Africa. So certainly they're holding their ground. But in the modern trade space with corporate retailers, we see lots of acquisition of independent stores. So it's an interesting space to watch.
100%. I'm also just keen to know about informal retail. And I ask this because when we take a look at the results that we see from the grocery retailers in South Africa, they always tell us that we're always looking for value for money as South Africans. So whether we're buying new private labels, which is what would previously be referred to as the no-name brands or the house brands, rather, of those retailers, or even looking out for cheaper options, it does seem as though we still prioritize the informal market. So you and I might be clicking, but we still make our way into the malls and the shopping centers in order to buy what we need. Talk to us about that informal dynamic or of the retail space that still holds ground.
Yes, I mean, the informal trade is certainly the most interesting space to watch. We have so many incredibly savvy traders out there, entrepreneurs that are really understanding the communities that they serve. And something that is really important to understand is it costs quite a bit to pay for transport and do your grocery shopping. So the spaza shops in particular play such an important role in those quiet times of the month, in the middle of the week, in the middle of the month, for top up grocery shopping. And that's where they really add value to the communities that they serve by offering those products at really good value. They can never compete with those big discount deals that the modern trade or corporate retailers run at the end of the month, but they perform really well as a convenience outlet for top-up shopping during the month.
Ah, I see. I guess, Andrea, as we look at this data and walk away from it, we never know who's listening, right? We might have us as consumers who are listening and want to understand, okay, how do I use this data? How do I use this information? What perspective should we walk away with versus someone who's trying to get their products on the shelf of a grocery store? Should they be trying to get it on an app instead? And what about how retailers themselves are using this information? Should they just go full speed ahead, shut down all their stores, you know, log on online? Or is omnichannel still the strategy of the day?
In-store shopping is still definitely the biggest and most important focus point. So yes, online is important as a sort of strategic driver for these retailers, but where the magic happens really is in the store.
100%. The magic happens in the store. Thank you again, Andrea, for sharing your time with us today. Really appreciate the knowledge and information you've shared with us. And I guess more than anything, we've learned one thing. Magic does still happen in the store. We still prefer to touch, feel our groceries and compare the prices and, you know, touch the freshness. Maybe even taste the grapes, which is what I used to do growing up. But if anything, e-commerce is still growing and we are seeing that that's still a significant avenue for a lot of opportunities. Thank you again for your time, Andrea.
Thank you so much.
Andrea Slaber is Insights Lead at Trade Intelligence, joining us on the show today. And as you've heard, when it comes to grocery shopping online, it's growing significantly by double digits in South Africa. But bear in mind, it's still a small market, about 2% of the overall retail market when it comes to groceries specifically in the country. So more than anything, it tells us that if you are buying your groceries online, you're probably doing it more often instead of the aspect of just having more clients on board, though that is also keen to grow and will continue growing. So it is an outcome in detail that we will continue to look at. But I also want to hear from you. You know, I don't buy a lot of groceries for myself. But when I do often. So I'm quite keen to hear your thoughts. Honestly, for me, grocery shopping online has become one of the easiest conveniences in my life. It's like, you know, the delivery of gas canisters to your home to make sure that you can, you know, heat up the stove or keep the heater warm. Convenience is something I don't mind paying for. But I want to know about you. Do you still like going into the stores, touching, feeling what you want to buy? Sometimes I enjoy it. Trust me, I do. But yeah, sometimes you just need something quick and easy and you need it now. So let me know. Do you like shopping online? Do you have the opportunity to shop online? Because another thing that I'm also very familiar with, even when I go home or visit other family members, is the fact that that last mile delivery just isn't in certain areas in South Africa. Right? And we do know the likes of ShopRite are trying to try it out at several other stores, saying that they're now going to bring Checkers 6060 to ShopRite 6060. And that also brings about the usual concerns we've heard about home deliveries, safety, deliveries getting stolen or lost, or drivers being hijacked. And I guess that's something that we still need to be mindful of. But in the same breath, We might complain about this, but if you know anything about us, we know that there are entrepreneurs, such as the founder of Delivery Gaspeed. He comes to mind because I remember we spoke to him at the Kaya Gasi SME Biz Summit, held over 2 years ago. And we actually spoke to him about how he started his bike business, Delivery Gaspeed. And I remember he actually shared with us that, you know what, since the big businesses were saying, oh, there's too much crime in the township, we are just going to start our own thing. And that's where Hudirakhetsi Mokhojani, the founder and the CEO of Delivery Gaspeed, then decided to actually start his own business, which offers deliveries within the township. Groceries, FMCGs. So basically saying, we're not going to wait for the big brands to come in. We can do this ourselves as entrepreneurs and build our own businesses. So, you see, where people might think there might be speed humps and hurdles, others spot opportunity. And these are the people that we speak to right across the spectrum, from the big corporates right down to the entrepreneurs like Hudirakhetsi Mokhojane, the founder and CEO of Delivery Gaspeed.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.